At the start of each month, we have a time to have a psalm meditation and sing a psalm throughout our new month. We've been working through the Psalter, and we've come to Psalm 13. I invite you to turn there, either in your Bibles or in your Psalter, to follow along. Psalm 13, this is God's Word. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed against him. Lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me. Psalm 13 starts off with an agonizing question. How long, O Lord? How long will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long? How long? He asks that question four times. It's a question that rises out of the very hard trials that we often go through. We pray and we wait. And we pray and we wait again, sometimes seeming for that waiting to go on and on forever. And we begin to think that God has forgotten us in the midst of that waiting. From our perspective, it seems like God has turned his face away from us, that he has plugged his ears to our cries, that he does not notice or does not care. Because if he did, if he heard and if he cared, then surely he would answer this prayer and deliver me from this trouble that I'm going through. It's a tempting path to go through as we face these types of trials. Instead, David leads us down a very different path. I don't know if you were struck the same way I was, but the very beginning of the psalm and the very end of the psalm seem like they come from two very different places. How in the world can the psalm begin with this agonizing question, how long, O Lord? And then close by saying, you have dealt bountifully with me. That seems like two different thoughts. But this is the path that David leads us on. I want you to follow his steps. In the midst of admitting trial and admitting the agony of a situation, David very purposefully lifts his eyes from that trial and thinks about God. And there are four different things that this psalm calls your attention to. And it's a psalm that I hope you would take with you to express your own agonies, but also to purposefully lead you in the midst of trial to think about God. So very briefly, let me just point out the four things that he calls your attention to. He prays that God would be glorified. This comes in verses 3 and 4. Make no mistake, David does ask for deliverance. Enlighten my eyes, lest they be closed in death. That's a cry for deliverance. He prayed for that, and it's right to do so. The Christian life is not one that turns a blind eye to suffering and pretends that it doesn't exist. That's not the Christian faith. But in the midst of that, the reason for his prayer comes through in verse 4. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed against him. Here David understands that God's honor was, in a sense, at stake. The enemies were boasting over David, and by implication were boasting over God as well. And so David prays for deliverance so that God may be glorified. That's a posture in suffering that we can take, that God would be glorified in the midst of our trial. whether that be deliverance or whether that be through the grace that is given in the midst of that trial, you can pray for God to be glorified. Secondly, David's prayer meditates on God's mercy. This is in verse 5. The word that is translated mercy here is sometimes translated unfailing love. And that is really appropriate in the midst of a trial. In what seems like a trial that will never end, or may seem like neglect, by faith, David reminds himself and reminds you that God is full of compassion and mercy, that His love will never fail. And it takes faith to turn away from that trial and to remind yourself that God is full of mercy. Thirdly, he prays for God's salvation. It's as if David takes a deep breath, and in the midst of the trial, he turns away from what he sees right here on the human level, and he looks at what God has done in the eternal perspective. He looks higher than what's happening in his life right now. And he can see then from God's perspective that the Lord has saved us from our sins. In the New Testament, Paul can say that our sufferings are light and momentary. And in the midst of them, they don't feel light and momentary. But from God's perspective, that eternal perspective that says you are saved from your sins forever and ever and ever, then the trials that you go through in this life can be seen as light and momentary. Fourthly and finally, David focuses on how God has dealt bountifully with him. And this is the place that you just kind of scratch your head. How can David cry out, "How long?" and yet say he has been bountiful with me? Well, it's a very human reaction to trial to focus on a narrative that is very self-centered. It's a narrative that you begin to rehearse all of the bad things that have happened to you and all of the offenses that have come against you. And that is all that you can see. But that narrative is self-centered and does not take into account God's perspective. And so David very deliberately and purposefully says, "I want to listen to God's narrative. God's word tells me that He has dealt bountifully with me. And so I will think about those things. I will remember the good things that God has done for me and how the Lord has blessed me through His people and how even in the midst of this trial that He is walking with me." Well, notice that in focusing on God's glory, mercy, salvation, and bounty, that David still says, "How long?" As I said, the Christian faith is not one that ignores or denies suffering. And there's something of a balance that this psalm brings to us. That on the one hand, we can cry out with that agonizing plea for help, and yet still think of God's goodness to us. And when those are brought together, then the grace of the Lord allows us to do both, to cry out and to praise and to walk in faith. Perhaps one of the greatest examples of this is Jesus' own prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knew the agony that he was about to go through at the cross. And he asked his Father to relieve him of that. But at the same time, he closed his prayer with that profound statement of trust in his Heavenly Father. "Not my will, but yours be done." The Psalms help us in this. and this one particularly. They strike that delicate balance of teaching you to cry out in genuine anguish and yet to believe that God has not and will not ever forget you. Throughout this month, sing this and devote it to memory so that as you experience the trials of this life, it will be a companion to you and remind you of God's grace to you. Let's turn and sing that. We'll be singing the B selection, Psalm 23, selection B. I invite you to stand to sing.